Tested is sponsored by Duke Health, where cancer researchers have made it possible for patients to receive stem cell treatments at home. More information at dukehealth.org. Tested also receives support from Hungry Harvest, delivering farm-fresh produce and kitchen staples to your door starting at $15. Every delivery fights food waste and supports local hunger-solving organizations. HungryHarvest.net.
I'm Leonida Inge. This is Test It from WUNC, a look at what the day's challenges tell us about where we are, what we believe, and who we want to be in North Carolina and the South. Today, the HBCU homecoming. Food, football, and fellowship. There are more than 100 historically black colleges and universities in the United States, and for each of them, the fall means something special. It's time for homecoming. But an HBCU homecoming is hardly about who wins the football game. It's a chance each year for a big reunion as alumni, family, and friends travel far and wide to enjoy all the festivities. Well, except if there's a pandemic.
H-U?
You know!
That's Shantae and Harry White, both proud graduates of Howard University in Washington, D.C.
It was the best decision that I've made in my entire life. So it definitely helped to shape who I am, my social consciousness, social awareness, commitment to the community.
Shantae White is a professor in the Department of Mass Communication at North Carolina Central University in Durham, also an HBCU. During a meeting on campus earlier this year, White realized canceling homecoming could trickle down into a major financial hit. No game day ticket sales, no concessions, no parties or performances.
I just remember when the economic downturn happened maybe in about 2008 or 9, that people said in the UNC system, which I am a part of, that when the UNC system gets a cold, the HBCUs get the flu. So I started thinking, well, if we're all in a pandemic, what could happen to all HBCUs, especially those who really kind of were on and still functioning on life support? So this really could take the life out of some of our HBCUs.
So White decided to do something to help close that gap. She started a campaign with a blog post and a video encouraging fellow HBCU grads to send their respective schools at least $100.
So we had people who said, look, I'll give $50 back, I'll give $25 back. And I think the highest contribution of the people that I asked who are a part of this video is $2,000. But I think whatever it is, we just need to give back something, even if it's $10.
For college students who are back in school, canceling homecoming hurts.
Honestly, I can say that this was not how I imagined my senior year of college to be. So that is definitely on my mind every day.
This is Imani Johnson, and she's campus royalty, a homecoming queen, Miss North Carolina Central University.
But one thing that I'm using to keep myself moving forward is that this will pass. Like, this season of everything being on pause will eventually come to an end. And I believe that since everyone has realized we've missed so much, when we come back, when everything is safe, we'll be able to really engross ourselves in that celebration. So I'm hopeful for the future. So my hope is what's keeping me moving forward during this time.
College of love and charity, we gather around thy noble shrine. We lift our voice in praise to thee.
Once a queen, always a queen.
FAMU, I love thee.
Dr. Sherry James is a family physician who lives and works in Wake County. She's also a graduate of Florida A&M University and was crowned Miss FAMU in 1985. Sherry is a second-generation FAMU Rattler.
So, Sherry, you've been to a lot of FAMU homecomings. I mean, how does it feel not being able to go to homecoming this year?
It feels like somewhat of a letdown, but I know my family or my famuli is there. And it's wonderful to see all of the Facebook postings and still keep in touch with a lot of my sorority sisters as well as a lot of my fellow famuli. So I'm not really missing a lot, but even though I'm not there in body, I am there in spirit.
Miss FAMUs, dating back to the 1950s, came together a few years ago to start their own scholarship fund. Sherry tells me this year her check is already in the mail. Too bad it couldn't be hand-delivered, because being socially distant also means not being able to see one of the baddest college bands in the land, the FAMU Marching 100.
You know, after the parade is over with, you immediately going into a tailgate party and then on into the game. And then after the game, when the post-game tailgate party is really getting to it. And so you have to take another week off just to sleep.
Gregory Clark is the president of the FAMU National Alumni Association. He says homecoming weekend is a big economic boost for the entire city of Tallahassee. And while it's important to prioritize safety first during a pandemic, a fall without homecoming still stings.
I know a lot of people are going through withdrawal right now. It's just not at FAMU, it's all over the country because it's always, homecoming's always a big, big week. And so my thing is let's figure out how to get through this. And on the other side of this, let's show up in big, big numbers. I'll submit that probably next year's homecoming wheel would probably be the largest in the university history because people just want to get to football season next year. So I'm feeling sad because this would have been a great week to reconnect. But, you know, right now it's about safety and we're going to try to get through it.
Well, Mr. Clark, we know about the economic impact that HBCU homecomings bring cities and towns like Tallahassee, Florida, you know, Jackson, Mississippi, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, even Greensboro, North Carolina, you know, even Winston-Salem, North Carolina. There's so many HBCUs in North Carolina, sometimes I can't even keep count. Fayetteville, North Carolina. But I guess some folks are actually taking note how much money actually goes to the schools. And I know there've been a few campaigns announced to make sure that even though folks cannot, you know, go back for homecoming, but at least they send some money back to the school of their choice. What would you say about that?
FAMU's homecoming is Tallahassee's largest single weekend of economic impact all year. So that should tell you right there. And this is even outside of Florida State coming in because a lot of their fans drive in and drive out. But we'll come in on a Wednesday and we'll stay till Monday. So just the economic impact on the hotels and the food. So one of the things I looked at when I became president, the first year we did homecoming, is how does the money kind of flow back to our university? And something that I found out was astounding, that we're coming to homecoming, we're having a great time, but we're not leaving the checks. As soon as the homecoming announced, day is announced, what happens? Oh, I got to go book my hotel. And we go do that, right? Next thing, I got to call the airline, right? You go jump the airline, get your ticket. Okay, you're probably at that point, you're out of more than $500. Then you get to Tallahassee, you got to rent a car. So cha-ching, all right. So now, the universe hadn't gotten a penny yet. And so then here comes Thursday, and now it's time to go out and eat before we go to the party. So we're spending money all the way through, right? And when I looked at the numbers, most cases, the only thing that's left to the university is a football ticket. We've spent thousands of dollars getting there, but we're not leaving anything with it but a football ticket. Now, there's something wrong with that picture because it's inverted, that if there was no homecoming, would be no reason for you to come back. So I'm always like this, you got to take care of home first. And so I always want people to come, but I always tell people, look inside your soul and conscience. And if you feel like you're going to spend more money getting to homecoming, why don't you stay home and send that check to the university and watch it on TV? I'm just being as real as I can.
Are you saying you wish no homecoming this year?
No, no, just as a test. I wish homecoming to happen. I'm saying if somebody's coming to homecoming and they're spending more money to come to homecoming, and the only thing they're buying is maybe a $25 ticket and don't leave a check with the university, stay home and send that money you were spending with the airline and everything. Hey, look.
Well, you know, the coronavirus, this was a pretty big test and a timely test for us, wasn't it? Or isn't it? Like, this will show how much you love your school, won't it?
It is. And I think we've adjusted pretty well to it. But in normal circumstances, what I'm saying is if we had a homecoming and we can't leave more than $25 football ticket, consider staying home and just write the check. I know people may not like that, but it's not all about the entertainment. If there is no Florida A&M University for you to come home to, we got to make sure the house is squared away and taken care of.
Another thing is, as president of the FAMU National Alumni Association, I'm sure you know Alumni Association presidents all across the South, especially at HBCUs. What are they saying? What are they doing about homecoming and giving? Are they trying to do some of the same things FAMU is doing?
Yeah, ironically, I got two great friends, the president of Southern's Alumni Association and Jackson State. And I talked to Jackson State's alumni president last night. I know those two universities' alumni associations are doing. I think most of them are trying to do something. It'll be a day-long event and trying to raise money because, I mean, we gotta make up the gap here. And so I do know that they are doing it. I think Morehouse did theirs a little bit earlier this month as well, but they are doing it. And we do talk to each other and ensure we can try to continue to help each other if possible and make this work. But they are doing it. Yep, they are.
Well, I just wanted to say happy homecoming. It's glad to see and hear you right now. And strike, Rattler, strike. That's, I mean, what else is there to say?
Absolutely. Yep, we're going to get through this. And there's a chance we may play a spring football schedule with a homecoming. If that does happen, we'll have some kind of quasi-homecoming. It certainly won't be like the real one, but you know, we'll give a chance some people to come together and celebrate, and then we'll just see.
Gregory Clark is the president of Florida A&M University's National Alumni Association. More in a moment.
Hey, I'm Russ Henry. I work with Leonita here at WUNC. Hope you're enjoying this episode. I'll let you get back to it, but I need just a minute to tell you about some other shows from WUNC you may like. Our politics podcast is basically required listening as we get closer and closer to the huge election day in our state. Capitol reporter Jeff Tiberi is all over the issues, the elected officials, and the news that's driving debate and policy in North Carolina. And speaking of news, the State of Things podcast features conversations with newsmakers, journalists, artists, activists, and others who are influencing the culture of North Carolina every single day. Hosts Frank Stacio and Anita Rao offer a kind of up-close look at our state you won't get anywhere else. Check out the WUNC Politics podcast and the State of Things podcast right here on this app you're listening to. And be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode of these shows.
HBCU homecomings aren't the only fall tradition that's changed in a major way due to the pandemic. In North Carolina's capital city, there's an event that's known to top more than 100,000 visitors a day this time of year, the State Fair. But because of COVID-19, the fair was canceled. Well, sort of. There are no rides, animal petting, or games, but the best part of a visit to the state fairgrounds is still accessible: the food.
Scallop basket. hope you enjoy it. Shrimp basket.
State fair organizers decided a few weeks ago to open the fairgrounds to food vendors. Opening weekend, hundreds of people poured in, like Carla Boney of Raleigh and her daddy, Carl Boney.
He's been bringing us here since we were kids, but like I said, he'd come just to eat too. Tell her, Daddy, tell us what you came for, just to come to eat.
Just for the outside gal and get a turkey leg, French fries, and the fried oysters. Been good.
And that turkey leg line was long. I can honestly say almost everybody I saw was wearing a mask. But I'm not sure if folks were always 6 feet apart waiting for the fried shrimp, the fried Oreos, and the fried corn dogs.
Hey, how are you?
Good, and you? Can I get an Italian sausage?
I need the peppers?
Yes.
Zell's Italian sausage has been a state fair vendor for more than 40 years.
No,
thank
you.
All right, it's going to be $8. And your ticket number is going to be 50, okay?
50.
Yes, ma'am.
Zell Lucas Jr. says his family was grateful to be able to open up, and they were careful.
We had everything ready. We just had to get sneeze guards and all of that in place. Everything, all of that, and then order one person at a time, do the social distances, and that's what we had to do.
And the people came. After word of the Fair Food Court spread, so did concerns it would become a COVID super spreader site. We don't know yet. This is the last weekend of the State Fair Food Vendor Experiment. That's it for this episode of Test It. I'm Leonita Inge, a proud graduate of Florida A&M University. Lindsay Foster Thomas is the executive producer and a proud Hampton University Pirate. Charlie Shelton Ormond is our producer. He didn't attend an HBCU, but we'd invite him to the tailgate anyway. Thanks for listening.